You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
This is the alternative media, exposing government corruption, defending our suspended constitution, demanding the rights of we the people, broadcasting the truth the puppet media dare not report. Long live liberty and death to the new world order. Prepare yourself. This is the alternative media.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Alternative Media. I'm your host, Richard Carey, filling in for Farron Schoaf here on this Saturday morning, May 22nd, 2021. I have word that it might be a bit more time that Farron may require, but he's not losing his slot. We're just here keeping the seat warm for him. And trying to utilize that as best I can. I again have a full panel, panel roundtable format here. Get a lot of perspectives from some interesting hosts. I'm sure most of them you appreciate as well. Of course, a lot of them we had last week when I came back to doing these fill-in slots. So we have Stephen Douglas Whitener. Hello, Stephen.
Hello, Richard. Hi, everyone. Greetings to the panel, everybody.
Yes, glad to have you. Glad to have you back here with me, Stephen. And then we have Dr. Patrick Slattery. Hello, Patrick.
Danke schön, Richard. Danke schön.
Always a pleasure, sir. And we have Mr. Mike Sledge. Hello, Mike.
Hey, great to be here.
Hey, thanks for being back, Mike. And then we have Mr. From over in, an Irishman over in England, Paul Edward Stevenson. Hello, Paul.
Good morning to you, chaps.
Hey, good morning. Good morning. Glad to have you here. Yeah, I know you were here with us a few weeks ago for a fill-in on Farron's show. Glad to have you back here, Paul.
And thank you. It's great to be with you.
Yes, sir. And, you know, it was a little late last night when I started looking over just some of the articles out there as far as talking points. I didn't really have enough time to share them all with you. Maybe next time I can be sure a couple days in advance, give you an opportunity to try to go over them a bit for comment. But I could, you know, reference some of these here. And as far as a theme, a potential theme for the show, I would suggest white genocide denier, because I don't know. I think we need to start calling out these white genocide deniers. We have Holocaust denier, that phrase out there, weaponized against us. Now we have COVID denier, right? I mean, using the language always against us, but you know, and in this case, it actually would be valid. I mean, in each of those cases, we've shown so many ways which the official narrative is at fault. And in the case of white genocide denier, the double standard is in full force as well in carrying it out. And it's just an interesting way to come back at people. And it's a really curious way to deal with the controlling of both sides of the narrative that we have. I mean, right now we have this escalation in Gaza, and at the same time we look here and Disney, for example, you know, one of the white genocide headquarters of the West right now. I mean, they're in full force with their critical race theory. It's actually creating racial divisions amongst the staff. it's so extreme at this point. And I was watching some videos of Israelis this morning, and they're speaking out about how they justify, you know, the killings. One even went so far as to say, well, yes, even the children, he can justify killing the children before they grow up to be Palestinian terrorists who attack Israel. And he'd rather kill them while they're children. I mean, he straight out said that. But, you know, you had attractive young couples approached on the street advocating the bombings and killings. You had just a couple of young ladies as well that they passed by, and they were just saying, oh, we just need to wipe them out. You know, another one used the term carpet bombings specifically, as is the only way to deal with things. And then another video was presented, a gentleman speaking behind a very pro-Israeli government audience in Israel. And he was speaking out against the violence. They were booing him. He could barely speak. And so what did he do? He cited the Holocaust. And he cited how his parents on each side were in the camps, that everyone on his father's side was killed, and that you can't condone what you're doing to the Palestinians because of this history that they've had. So, but then, of course, over here, you know, I mean, not just Disney. I mean, I was noticing this other video of this. It was over at National Vanguard, a story. I mean, this black woman in a black neighborhood. I believe it was inside a Little Caesars that it started. And she's fighting with this white woman and really just wiping the floor with her, literally. I mean, she's holding her hair in a bunch and just giving punches in the face, you know, with like wraparound sort of swings, and then drags her all the way outside of the place in front of people with their children and everything, starts stomping her head onto the cement, and it's being reported. It was so surreal. I mean, it was being reported on by this extremely obese black woman, local reporter, and they're just interviewing some locals who, only because I live in Chicago my whole life, I was able to interpret what they were saying. The narrator of the author of the National Vanguard piece, he evidently was not as able to decipher the slang, you know, the eubonics, if you will. But, you know, I mean, it's just a mild questioning of whether this should go on in public. You know, it turns out that it was a dispute, I guess, over a father. I guess in this case, you'd call it a baby daddy dispute, a dispute over a baby daddy. So this white woman chose to get in a relationship with a black man. She winds up having a lifestyle where she's in an average day just beaten and stomped into the concrete repeatedly by this we'll say competitor for her man. So between that and what's, I mean, I could read some of what Disney is proposing, but I'm sure you gentlemen are aware of critical race theory by this point. So I mean, we have on one side, of course, BLM, Antifa, all of this critical race theory pushed by the leftist Jewish agenda. And then, of course, we have the far right Jewish Zionist agenda condoning this action over in Palestine, truly controlling both sides of things and always ready to have something against us. You know, whether you speak out against one or the other, you know, either extreme. And certainly the double standard fully in place. We really need to start using strategy as well. You know, if we ever want to reemerge as a people, because as things are now, it's just really looking pretty grim when I just look at everything and take everything all into account at once. So, I couldn't have time to share these videos with each of you, but it's so easy for us to be portrayed as the bad guy, you know, and yet, well, I mentioned all these extremes. I mean, Disney is a pretty strong example as far as the attitudes, and of course the attack on meritocracy, but the just inherently for being white, for really even trying to have any sort of identity related to that. And I don't know. I'd like to just start by hearing some of your thoughts on just some of the things I've mentioned in that whirlwind there. I don't know, maybe we could start with you, Patrick. I mean, you've had a lot of years covering all of these issues. And I mean, it's very complex. It's like, what strategy are whites to take, you know, in the current era where both sides are so completely co-opted, already controlled against us, ready to exemplify us in a negative way?
Well, and you mentioned you're over there in Chicago and your mayor, E.T. Lesbian Lightfoot, she announced that she's not going to speak to reporters if they're white. So she's going to refuse to speak to white reporters. The only person who's called her out on that has been Tulsi Gabbard, who's totally my internet waifu. And as a matter of fact, I a year or so ago, renamed Stormfront Radio when Don Black was on hiatus for a while. I rebranded it as the Morning Aloha Report in her honor. And I rebranded white people Aloha Americans. But so Tulsi was the only person who used the term anti-white. This is something that Andrew Anglin has taken note of as well. She used the term anti-white racism, which is something that, you know, that's a breakthrough to have a politician use that term. As Andrew Anglin noted, no Republicans using that term. So to Tulsi, I want to say mahalo for your kukua. Also, you noted people referencing the Holocaust. And this is something we've got to stop doing, is when we're condemning, say, anti-white racism, when we're condemning Israeli atrocities against Gaza, let's stop throwing Hitler under the bus, okay? You know, until you've walked a mile in his mustache, let's not condemn the man. Just, you know, let Hitler be Hitler, whatever. As for what strategy to take, I think that we really need to, the thing is, we have massive numbers. You know, we are almost 60% of the country, and any other group in the United States, any other ethnic group is able to muster its solidarity and throw its weight around. If we could muster any solidarity, we'd take the situation back in an instant. Had just one-tenth the courage that the Gazans have, because the Gazans have just dug in their heels for decades, and they've never given up. If we had any of that, I mean, it takes an awful lot of courage to withstand the assaults from the Israeli military when you're armed with stones or bottle rockets or whatever. You know, we haven't even been able to summon the courage to get a group of us together and walk through Walmart without masks. We need some of that courage. And we have the numbers. We have the resources. Society depends on our labor, and they depend on our mental wherewithal. If we could get together, we could I'm not saying shoot our way out. I'm saying we can boycott our way out. We can use our economic muscle. We need to start targeting companies that are engaging in anti-white racism. The only problem we have is there are so many companies that are doing it so blatantly. It's like, where do we start? But start we have to, and I'll kick it back to you.
Hey, I'm really amazed by the whole critical race theory as well, Patrick, just how extreme, and it does seem like a Jewish tactic. I mean, in addition to the old saying you hear that the Jew shrieks in pain as he strikes you, also they do have a tendency to go overboard with their attempt and at least get a good portion in the end, as far as the just the outrageous overstepping. And as far as the critical race theory goes, I mean, anything related to it's destroying all the meritocracy at the universities too, these sort of policies, starting with the affirmative action movement. But anything that has to do with accurate results or following rules is now seen as white supremacy. I mean, if that's not a way to destroy our entire culture by going overboard with the narrative you're preaching to the youth, I don't know what is. Having a correct answer, a single right answer in math, you know, that's white supremacist. Individualism is white supremacist. Timeliness, so showing up to work on time. You know, I mean, that's only expected of white people. I mean, if you expect that of blacks, that's racism, I guess. And of course, being good at language. I guess, you know, part of that, we discussed that when we covered academia in a broadcast of yours recently, Patrick. Perhaps part of that, there's the argument that to embrace their black culture, you know, they don't want to talk white. So, you know, to have to use proper English of the white man, that would be bowing to him. They should be able to talk black and get good grades in literature and grammar with eubonics. I suppose that's the theory on that. But yeah, I mean, timeliness, individualism, if those things are even out the window and getting a right answer, I don't know. How can you expect Europe and America to continue to be a place that these people would even want to immigrate to? It's just fascinating how much the critical race theory is on its face. And I'm sure people from India can see this. And I'm sure that people from, well, most of Asia, Arabs, a lot of people can see, really, the fundamental flaws and destruction of the Western civilization with these sort of concepts indoctrinated into the youth. Let's go to Mike. What are your thoughts, sir, on some of all this I've discussed?
Yeah, well, thanks. You mentioned what I find interesting in the Israeli-Palestinian conflict that's taking place right now is there's an operation taking place, in my opinion, that many people overlook when it comes to this conflict. And that is the fact that I think over the last 4 to 5 years, many quote-unquote normie white people, you know, basic conservative white people were waking up, you know, populist Republicans, that kind of thing, grassroots Republicans were waking up to the fact that Israel was treating the Palestinian issue very, very badly, and it was bad optics, and it wasn't working. And I think a lot of white people have awakened to that fact in the last couple of years. But I have to say, it appears that what the system is doing right now is they are BLM and Antifa have changed their costumes and are putting on Free Palestine shirts now and marching in the streets, and they're acting like fools like they always do. And what is taking place, in my opinion, is actually designed to push the awakened normie whites back to the GOP, the GOP, the Republican Party, because they see these left-wing morons acting like fools in the streets, and it's bad optics, and it looks bad. And I think it discredits the whole situation taking place. So I think there's a bigger agenda taking place here in that, you know, remember, they have to keep the Hegelian dialectic going. They have to keep the fake right and the fake left, the two wings of the same oy vey bird of prey that sits in Washington, D.C., the District of Criminals. And I see this as being a huge operation to steer white people, more normie white people, away from the truth by making this a right-left issue. And I think it's very dangerous.
All right, Paul. Would you like to contribute your two cents with a bit of a UK perception?
Yeah, I agree with that, actually, that the right-left situation in the Israeli-Palestinian so-called conflict, which is just a one-sided ethnic cleansing operation against the Palestinians. But, yeah, it is, it's presented in a right-left sort of paradigm, and it's incredibly frustrating when you see, for example, sort of, I don't know, moderately right-wing characters over here maybe would be embodied by the sort of Tommy Robinson supporters, but this the sort of right-wing people who will condemn Black Lives Matter, or condemn Antifa, condemn mass immigration, but will never mention, will never go to the JQ. We'll steer away from that and somehow have this solidarity with Jews in Israel. And it seems very difficult to sort of to crack that over here, because people are in that paradigm where if they think that they oppose Israel, that somehow that they're, you know, they're putting themselves in the category with Black Lives Matter or some sort of terrorist, a Muslim terrorist organization or something like that. So I don't see that conflict as a right and left issue. I just see it as a moral issue, a right and left issue. And back to what Patrick was saying about, you know, tactics and stuff. I think, yeah, we need to get organized. In fact, we have had some success over here, at least, you know, on the surface of it, at least, where we've brought in this anti, you know, was a pro-free speech bill in the in the universities over here. And that has come around, you know, because there has been pushback and against this deplatforming and this Marxist indoctrination going on in the universities. And there's been some people in America have been writing letters to these universities and calling out this critical race theory. And we need to get back to, you know, just get back to truth, because everything that these people push, whether it's the COVID thing or whether it's immigration or the anti-white agenda, it's all predicated on lies. And for years, you know, white people have been just beaten around the head, shamed, intimidated, you know, and indoctrinated into accepting, and it's very counterintuitive, but to accept that their countries are for whoever wants to claim it. And this abomination, in my opinion, of multiculturalism. I mean, I heard a guy on, like, and that was a right-wing platform over here, talk radio, and he was saying we need to, you know, we need to learn to live in a multi-ethnic democracy. I mean, there's only two things wrong with a multi-ethnic democracy, and that's one, that it's multi-ethnic, and two, that it's a democracy. And that's the way, you know, that's how we find our countries now in the West. Now, there was a poll done recently. I'm not really sure how they managed to establish this, but it was about, you know, racist countries. And number one racist country in the world in this poll, whatever questions they were asking or whatever, was India. And you will hear this if Indians are honest with you, that India is an incredibly racist country. I think number two was Thailand, and number three was China. Now, none of these countries or Japan or Israel have any kind of significant immigration into their countries, or, you know, and they're not ethnically compromising themselves, and they have ethnic and cultural stability and cohesion, and it's perfectly normal. You know, this whole racism narrative, you know, when people are talking about it, there's so much indoctrination with it, and so much unfair and unjust shaming and intimidation for the white nations, because the white nations are ironically probably the least racist, because when you look around, you know, these other countries are maintaining their culture and their ethnic anatomies, but we're not. We're compromising it, and aggressively so, to the point that, you know, white people who describe themselves as white British are a minority in the capital of England, in London. So people need to just stick with the truth and go with what's intuitive. And we need to start lobbying these corporations who, you know, let them feel the pinch of it in the pockets and just stop buying their products. The church needs to get organized and find someone who's got a, you know, carries a donor for a spine transplant. And as Patrick said, it takes courage, this stuff. But, you know, you've got to stand up. I mean, these are serious things that we're talking about. It's the future of our children. It's the future of our race of people. It's the future of the religion that is consistent with this land and Christianity. And we're just throwing it all away. And these are serious things that we need to stand up and fight for and make our lives about these things. Because otherwise, it's all just going to go. And it's just going to disappear. And it's incredibly tragic, you know. But, yeah, we've got to do something. And we've got to start doing something very quickly. And back to what you said, the Jews always overreach. Their aggression outweighs their intelligence. And that's always been their undoing in history. And I expect, eventually, the best predictor of future behavior is past behavior. Because this little drama keeps repeating itself. You look at the Jews and their history in Europe, same thing happens. They get so diabolical in the end that it's just intolerable. And then there's a reaction. And then that goes down. And, you know, and then they preach that little chapter in the synagogues of Jewish persecution and anti-Semitism. And then it just goes on and on.
And that's hard to believe if you've come as far as you have in England, or the UK in general, where you're from, Ireland, France. I mean, the people are starting to see just how all-encompassing, hey, we didn't realize you're taking our country completely here, you know, and it's a little more up for debate. Well, people talk about the Native Americans having precedence here, but of course, in your lands, there's no debate that, you know, it is the land of your people, and yet it's come so far in such a short amount of time, and I think, like some of the comments I was hearing from the French in some articles recently, they got away with way more than people realized before people started to start looking around, look around. Hey, wow, I can't believe that. We're to the majority not in control anymore in our own lands. And how could you even argue that or suggest that there should be no white homelands anymore? And that's the only one on the planet because of just that white people are, critical race theory, you know, systematically evil. Stephen, I know we're, going to have to maybe go shorter on the rounds between people, but Stephen, your thoughts here before the bottom of the hour.
Well, the one thing I was thinking when the guy referenced the Holocaust and all to compare to, you know, what's happening in Gaza, that's wrong, even if everything that they have told us about this Holocaust was accurate. If everything they said, you know, we don't need to shoot that to say that Israel is being aggressive, a war criminal, and committing ethnic cleansing there. That I'm reminded of that because this guy, Finkelstein, who seems to, he seems to buy the whole history of it, but still comes out against Israel's crimes. And I think sometimes that they control both sides, so they get us arguing about something else when the issue's right there. That you know, they're trying to murder these people in Gaza and drive them out. And they call it mowing the grass over there. You know, every few months or years, then Hamas builds up some weapons, and they just have to come in and mow the lawn. And it provides and it keeps both the leaders in both sides in money. You know, I want someone to stand with the children that are in both places because, you know, especially in Gaza where they're being buried under rubble. But, you know, these children, white children, too, we need a future. And the way things are going now, you've all referenced it, that this is the end for us as a race unless we stand up and do something. And Western civilization is just falling around us and by design. You know, everything is so diabolically intertwined. Like you said, there's a whole lot going on. How the BLM over here is trying to affect the narrative by putting on the free Palestinian flags, all this stuff, and into the media. It's just been a very stressful week about all this. I hear the break coming up, but thanks for letting me on this panel. I'm just very interesting what you guys are saying. I don't know what else we can do, but I'll come back after the break.
Sounds great.
All right. Yeah. Okay.
Good thoughts. Good thoughts there, Stephen. We'll be right back, folks.
Yeah. You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
For over 20 years now, Extendivite has proven time and again it really works. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. I received an arterial switch at birth. In my mid-20s, I started getting slight runs of NSVT. Nothing too serious, but enough to cause worry. I started taking Extendivite a little over 2 years ago, and it helped cut the palpitations and NSVT down drastically. This isn't a cure-all supplement. I strongly recommend a good diet and exercise to aid in any heart troubles you may be having, and I strongly recommend giving Extendivite a try. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2 month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. We here at RBN are working with Front Sight Firearms Training Institute to bring our audience the best in combat, tactical, and defensive firearms training. Whether you're a private citizen who is new to firearms, or you have a concealed weapon permit, and want a level of training that surpasses what you've received from your local gun range, Front Sight provides priceless education and skills taught by seasoned law enforcement, military, and private citizen instructors to levels that far exceed law enforcement and military standard. With nearly a million responsible citizens trained from every town, city, and state from across the United States, Front Sight has bolstered the Patriot movement to a whole new level. Contact Dan Sutterfield by phone at 573-762-2356 or 573-465-2356 or shoot him an email at domedan, D-O-M-E-D-A-N, at hotmail.com. This is a limited time opportunity. Don't miss it.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Hey, up in the backwoods, down in the holler, feeling like a dog on a collar, keeping that chain pulled tight, waiting on Saturday night.
And we're back, folks. I'm the alternative media, Richard Carey, filling in for Farron Schoaf, here with co-hosts on our panel today, Patrick Slattery, Mike Sledge, Paul Edward Stevenson, and Stephen Douglas Whitener. And just a couple of article headlines here. A poll, 72% of Israelis believe Gaza operation should continue. And out of Newsweek, they're saying that these entire families getting targeted repeatedly is not an an accident. Hundreds of Princeton faculty, students, and others signed letter opposing Israel's Jewish supremacy. The article is entitled, and they have a right out of a Haaretz.com analysis: Gaza lives erased. Israel is wiping out entire Palestinian families on purpose. The numerous incidents of killing entire families In Israeli bombings in Gaza, parents and children, babies, grandparents, siblings, attest that those were not mistakes. The bombings follow a decision from higher-ups backed by the approval of military jurists. So perhaps we could go back to Patrick. But yes, I mean, as far as the Holocaust card being played, it's a way where at home we can't do any of the things that actually were successful in NSDAP Germany. But then, of course, yeah, both sides of the dialectic. There are, of course, a lot of people who are sold on the Zionist pro-Israeli.
Can I finish that thought, Richard? The point I was trying to bring about was even back as far as the 1970s when I was in middle school and high school, and we still bought every detail that they were feeding us then, but we would stood up and said, okay, so what? That's no excuse. You know, that's not the worst thing that's ever happened to a people in the history of the world. It's just being made out to be that way. And this was before I had, you know, questioned it at all. And my friends were standing up against that narrative. You know, Cambodia and the Khmer Rouge was going on at that time. But now you fast forward to today, and it's so easy for people to use that as an excuse for this behavior, for these war crimes. It's like freedom is... slavery, ignorance is strength, and Israel is our greatest ally has become the media's mantra. So, yeah, that's kind of what I was saying about that.
Actually, people who look further into history will see things really haven't changed all that much. After World War II, the firebombings of Dresden and other cities of Germany, where, you know, civilians, women, children, grandparents, the same thing going on in Gaza now happened. And this was from the higher up Jewish overlords who had influence over the Allied powers and their conquest in the war. So, I mean, people really could come back with official history, perhaps, when the Holocaust card is pulled. Because, yeah, really, things do seem to the more things change, the more they really do stay the same. But I'll please refer to Patrick to continue.
All right.
Patrick, yes.
Patrick, yes.
Yeah, well, yes, sir. Would you like to, I don't know, take it from where the panel left it there? Or maybe, are we having a problem with Patrick's sound?
Sorry about that.
Oh, there you are.
You know, it's the whole boomer mute issue thing. sometimes...
I have...
Yes. So... you mentioned that the word Jewish supremacy was used. I guess it's been used on campus. And Joy Baird, who is a children of immigrants from the African Republic of the Congo, the Democratic Republic of the Congo, Zaire, and South American Black Republic of Guyana. She's a daughter of immigrants. She's got a show on MSNBC. She had... on a, I suppose, an Arab academic, a woman who used the term Jewish supremacism when she was talking about what was going on in Gaza. And Joy Bear, oh, what's her name? Joy, what's her last name? Reed, Joy Reed. Joy Reed, she's Black. She didn't push back. And it was pointed out in an article that the term Jewish supremacism, this is something that David Duke had popularized. He wrote a whole book about it. And in this article from, it was some pretty mainstream internet news site, was basically calling Joy Reid a white supremacist, likening her to David Duke. So the thing is, regarding Israel, you know, what you've been hearing the past couple of weeks is virtually all of Congress, including the few people in Congress who might from time to time seem to be standing up against the insanity, like this three-named Congresswoman, something Taylor Green. But no, they have to stand with Israel, and they have to condemn Joe Biden for not being pro-Israel. He's not Zionist enough for them. But you do have a few people like Ilhan Omar, who normally, you know, they're well, people like Ilhan Omar who are willing to take time out from their anti-white activities to be anti-Israeli, and you know, sometimes you just got to take what you can. It's better to have your Ilhan Omars in Congress, who are only filling, you know, they're just filling up a seat that otherwise would be some very mundane Democrat who would be pro-Zionist, pro-everything else. At least every now and then with Omar or with Rashida Tlaib, you're going to get a little bit of controversy out of it, a little bit of criticism of what otherwise would be, you know, unanimous support for Israel. So sometimes you just got to take what you can get. And so Joy Reid is our new darling of the white supremacist movement. Yes.
All right, we'd like to add to that.
Yeah, I'd like to say something here, Richard.
Yeah, Mike.
First of all, going back to my previous point earlier on this broadcast, the fact the squad, Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib and AOC and all these people, they're allowed to do what they do, whether they know it or not, they're being used. Because when they put out their attacks on Israel, it discredits and it pushes white people, normie white people, as I said before, back to the GOP. And that's why they allow those people to exist in Congress, in the House of Representatives, in Washington, D.C., the District of Criminals, because they allow these idiots to say what they're going to say when it comes to Israel, because they know that it's going to repulse normie white people to say, well, they're BLM, they're for BLM, they're for all the riots, they're for the summer of love, they're for burning down cities, and now they're attacking Israel. Well, damn, I need to be on the side of Israel because these people are speaking out against it. This is typical TJB, typical Jewish behavior, typical Hegelian dialectic. But I want to go over this real quick. There's a bigger picture taking place in the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. Hamas was actually strengthened by the Mossad. Okay, a lot of people don't know this history. So remember, they like to play both sides of the on the battlefield and the dialectic. Well, they have done this. There's a great article from the Washington Post back in 2014 called "Democracy Dies in Darkness," and basically it goes into the fact that Hamas was actually given funding and helped to be an organization by the Mossad in its early stages when Yasser Arafat was there, the head of the Palestinian Liberation Organization. So again, you have to look at the big picture, step back and say they are playing both sides. What is the purpose of this conflict? This is, when you look at the grand chessboard, they always win. They create conflict so they can expand territory. This is basic TJB behavior, all right? This is basic stuff here. At the time, I'm going to read this a little section from the article. At the time, Israel's main enemy was the late Yasser Arafat's Fatah Party, which formed the heart of the Palestinian Liberation Organization, the PLO. Fatah was secular and cast in the mold of other revolutionary guerrilla movements. But it also obscures Hamas's curious history. To a certain degree, the Islamist organization whose militant wing has rained rockets, bottle rockets, on Israel the past few weeks, has the Jewish state to thank for its existence. Hamas launched in 1988 in Gaza at the time of the first Intifada, or uprising, with a charter now infamous for its anti-Semitism and its refusal to accept the existence of the Israeli state. But for more than a decade prior, Israeli authorities and Mossad actively supported and funded its rise to power. Israel has the best enemies money can buy. And people need to understand this. These conflicts or for a purpose. They control both sides of the narrative in many cases. And I think that's what we're seeing here in this operation. And I'll turn it over.
Paul, would you
can I just...
Oh, yes, Patrick, please.
So, Hamas was promoted by Israel in the early days. And for the reasons that stated in the Washington Post, because at the time, Israel was trying to undermine Yasser Arafat, who had a certain amount of success in gaining international support for the Palestinian cause. They wanted to undermine him, and Hamas was seen as one way of doing so, and dividing what had been a relatively unified Palestinian movement under the umbrella group PLO. The PLO was an umbrella group. Fatah was the strongest member of it. There were other groups that were under the PLO umbrella. Hamas was not under the umbrella. So it was there's a divide and conquer aspect of it. The question then becomes, when, if ever, did Hamas become a Frankenstein monster that was no longer controlled by its creator? And I would say that happened at some point, at least a couple decades ago, that Hamas is not, although it was created with Israeli help, it has become kind of a Frankenstein monster for Israel, to the extent that Israel is, if anything, is much more supportive of the Fatah and the PLO, which is now led by Abbas, who is, Yasser Arafat's successor. And, the typical Jewish behavior that Stephen was referring to, this is a real thing, and it often is successful, probably successful more often than not, but it's not always successful. And we can reserve judgment maybe about Hamas, but it's very possible if you look at history, the Jews often do overplay their hand. Who knows what's going to happen, but I would wonder if does Stephen think that Hamas is still controlled by Israel, or is it a Frankenstein monster that is now attacking its creator?
Stephen?
It was Mike.
It was me.
Okay. All right.
Yes, I do. I absolutely do. I think that the Palestinian people are being led to slaughter by sellouts among their own ranks that are getting paid off. I do believe that 100%. The same way they're doing to it with us in the United States of America. I think that is what's taking place. I don't believe any of it. So that's my response.
I would like to say I think that's at least plausible. I'm not sure. I don't know enough to come down one way or the other. But the only beneficiaries of this conflict recently were the political people in power in Hamas and Bibi. They both had these elections coming up. They both needed a war or something to derail their impending political demise, and this just fit the bill. And the only other beneficiary I think would be the military-industrial complex. So it's at least plausible. I don't know enough to say that they are still controlled completely, but definitely influenced, and they do have sellouts. I always thought that Arafat was just a scumbag for becoming a billionaire, while the Palestinians have become a tool that is used by all sides. I don't know. There are different analogies I could make in history that's been done with other peoples and stuff, but it's been going on for 70 years now. These people, generations, it's a terrible tragedy what's happened to those people. It breaks my heart every time I see them and living like that. I'll turn it back over. Thank you.
All right. Well, Paul, would you like to comment?
Yeah, I There's an important issue when it comes to Zionism, of course, and that is the kind of the doctrinal deception that whole state's existence was predicated on. Because the state of Israel came into being because some Jew realized if he could dupe some Christian leaders into thinking that this was going to be, you know, prophecy fulfilled, that they could get support for Israel. And of course, you've got the whole Christian Zionist movement, which is tremendous, provides tremendous oxygen and support to the state of Israel. Because the reality is, without the United States money, without the United States support, Israel is nothing. And that's an important issue as well. And I've been trying my best. I've had guys I respect, theologians, Bible scholars, authors, and we've been dismantling this whole dispensationalist narrative, because Christians really need to educate themselves and understand the distinction between Judah and Israel, and understand that they are supporting the enemies of the gospel by supporting Israel. And if any of you, you know, I don't know where your religious leanings are, but a very simple way of debunking, you know, for anybody who's not knowledgeable on that topic, if you ask a dispensationalist or somebody who supports this nonsense to find you one passage in the New Testament where it predicts the return of the Jews to that land, you could offer them £1 million if they can find it, because they're not going to find it. I've been through it with a fine tooth comb. It's not in there. Not one. Now, you would think that a movement as big and as powerful and influential as the Christian Zionist movement would have some sort of doctrinal basis, and it has zero. And that is something I think there's a lot of well-meaning but very ignorant, duped Christians supporting the state of Israel, just basically on ignorance. And that's something you can keep hammering at. It's just because if they're well-meaning and you can get the truth to them, you know, their conscience will be pricked. And I think you have seen some movement in, you know, in that sort of, you know, that biblical area. Because when you talk to a Christian and you sit down, and if they can calm down enough to you know, let you explain it to them, they will go away. And there are more and more Christian Zionists, you know, rejecting that doctrine. And subsequently, you know, their support of Israel will dwindle. It just depends how much ground that can take, because obviously what's happening over there, it just cannot continue. It's untenable. It's despicable. And of course, it could lead to a wider conflict and, it lead to a world war, really. But anyway, that's something in the way of solution, you know, to convince Christians that what they're doing is just not biblical, you know?
Mm-hmm. Okay, good points. Patrick?
Sorry, man. Boomer. Be mute. I'm sorry.
I don't give you any fair warning either, though. So.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I think that it's one thing to say the Palestinians haven't been served well, very well by their leadership. But I don't know. I mean, I have a lot of trouble buying the notion that Israel is controlling Hamas, because, I mean, I guess it could seem that way, but Israel is, I don't know, you've had, you get down to the I'm just stuttering, I don't know, I mean, they do overplay their hands a lot. You know, if they're always controlling both sides and they're always winning, then what are we doing? Because then we're on a fool's errand. It's one thing to, you know, lose the game. It's another thing to throw the game. I think that Hamas, the people of Gaza, have been digging in their heels and struggling. Do they always lose? Yeah, they always lose. But, you know, how have they been – have they – how much assistance have they gotten from outside? You know, they've been thoroughly isolated. Even the Egyptians took part in you know, there's a tiny little border they have with Egypt, and even the Egyptians cooperated in shutting off that border. They cooperated with Israel in shutting off the border. Israel gets all this cooperation. The Palestinians, regardless of their leadership, they're kind of in a damned if they do, damned if they don't situation, where you know, they're so isolated, there's hardly a winning strategy. But the Jews do have a history of overplaying their hand, you know, not knowing when to cash in their chips. There's, you know, there are those who seem to know when to cash in their chips, but there's others who sometimes win the day by wanting to do double or nothing, double or nothing. And you might be seeing that now. There are reports that, you know, Vladimir Putin has threatened to go to war with Israel. Some people will say, oh, well, he's just controlled opposition too. But you're in this situation now where you've got, like, Israel, even with its nuclear weapons, even with its massive air force, it's very vulnerable in that it's a small piece of territory. It's, the population is very concentrated in, you know, a couple of little major urban areas that are close together. And even if Iran or Syria or other countries that potentially could back it, even if they don't have as advanced weaponry, Israel's very vulnerable, and it's very possible they could be overplaying their hand. You know, it's almost happened in the past. It could happen in the future. We'll see. But the main thing here is if they're always playing both sides, if they control both sides all the time, and they always win, then what are we doing? What can we do?
Right. And they've certainly conditioned their population, from the video I was watching this morning, as an example, to feel that the only solution is to completely wipe out the Palestinians. And so, Mike, would you like to take it from there?
Absolutely. I mean, what we can do is wake up to the fact that they control mostly both sides of every mainstream issue. That's what we can do. I mean, you know, I don't understand why it's so hard for people not to understand how they could easily control Hamas. I mean, from the very foundation of Israel, going back to 1829, actually, when the Rothschild Bank actually paid off the leadership of the Palestinian territory back then and purchased Jerusalem and then used that as a contract deal in saying the Palestinians broke the contract. Typical libertarian property rights kind of argument. Anyway, I hear the music, so I'll pick it up from there.
Yeah, please pick it up again, Mike, when we return. We'll be right back with Hour 2, folks. Stick around.
Extendivite 7-herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Extendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs in Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's H-E-A-R-T DROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendover.